the younger players, from like the Pedris, the Definitely, the next generation of the Masala, the academy there, you know, the Masala.
Hello and welcome back to the La Masala podcast. We are joined by, first of all, my two mates, Elliot and Cal. Say hello.
Hello.
Hello, everyone.
And we've got Sammy J coming out of DE, Delaware.
302, baby.
Sammy, say hello, brother. 302.
Hello, everyone. It is the 302 in the building.
Dude, the man's here. First of all, lads, what are we drinking? I am on the Guinness today from my lovely ultrasonic cleaner.
That's a real life one, isn't it?
Elliot has obviously got a Stella. Cow, what are we drinking?
No, I actually don't. You not got one, El? No?
I'm on the waters today.
Nuts!
Double parked, El. I like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That, you should have to down one for double parking.
That's very true.
What?
That is literally a rule.
What?
If you've got two drinks on you, one has to go.
No, come on.
Go on.
I want to just enjoy the podcast with my three.
Cal, what weird beer have you got this week?
No, I didn't have a chance to get a weird beer, so I got back from work a bit too late. So I've just got a San Miguel.
You're drinking out of a can?
Yeah, man. I'm fucking mental.
Jeez, that is a bit fucking, like, homeless-y.
Have you seen me at the moment, mate?
Well, yeah, true. Damn, what we on, buddy? You got a Coors Light?
No, well, like I said, I brought an assortment because, for one, I wanted to support El. I'm tired of you guys making fun of El, so I brought a Stella.
But, Sammy, we'll do a cheers into the camera, yeah?
No, because I did also bring. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, the blood! Yes. I thought you might have a Natty.
No, I was thinking about playing this whole American thing up and getting Bud Light and hanging like an American flag back there and just taking it all the way, but I just
did. I didn't even realize they sold Stellas in America. I don't remember ever seeing Stella when we were out there.
We were cheapskates, that's why, mate.
Yeah.
Ellie's been trying to source pop off, Sam.
Yeah, I've been trying to source some pop off in England, but I can't really get it.
Sam, I remember going back to one thing. I remember the first night out on your 21st when we went out drinking. And you came back to our gaff and you had one too many pop-offs. And I think you were absolutely dying.
Oh, Sam, yes. Sam was so hot that night.
He's throwing up all over himself.
What a night. What have you said? We literally said, this can't be mentioned. I told you, Jester, he's hard to control.
Sorry, I actually forgot about that.
No, it's okay.
Man, I forgot. I'm so sorry. I don't think I'll ever get that image out of my head of walking in Elliot. Right. So, I mean, there's not much to review on. There's been shitty international. I can't lie. I haven't seen one highlight, one game, one anything of internationals. I've got no interest in it unless it's a tournament because I'm a plastic fan. England are playing at the minute. I mean, we do it all the time. We win every game qualifying, then just whatever. I don't know if Sam, you want to talk about America, how they've been getting on?
No, I mean, they play a bunch of international friends that I don't pay attention to. The only one I watched was the Northern Ireland one, but the only reason I even think about watching at this point is just because the younger players I have coming up through. So I watch, but I stay like on my phone for the most part. I don't really, it's kind of how I feel about Barca at the moment. Just I watch, but I don't. I'm not fully invested because I can't stand it. But
Sam, does the lad who's gone to Barca play for America?
Dest.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been playing, especially since a lot of our defenders are injured at the moment.
No, so I wasn't sure if he played for. Is he Dutch or something? Or
he came from Ajax, didn't he?
Yeah, he came from Ajax. So I think he has citizenship in both, but he plays for the US. Yeah.
Man, the US have got some really good players though.
Yeah, they have, and they recently, yeah, especially.
Yeah, so that's the only reason I watch them is just to see guys like, you know, Dest and Pulisic and whatever.
Yeah. But
other than that, I don't really care.
What do people think about Pulisic, like, in the Premier League now, like, in America? Like, do they think, like...
He's like a star, isn't he, there?
Yeah, I know. He's, like, the main man. He's captain. He's in the national team, I'm pretty sure.
Yes. And I remember a couple episodes when you guys did, like, the underrated 11 for Premier League. I mean, he's probably a shout for one of them, just because... I think he kind of gets a bad rap just for being American. You know what I mean? It's just
I probably agree, to be fair.
No, yeah. It's more this season though. Like, he was unreal last year, and I think everyone realised how good he was. And then this year, he hasn't had really a run of games, and like, he's been playing wing back, and like, that's just not him. Yeah.
He got injured. He had a hamstring injury for a while this season, and so he's been a bit in and out. But
the only reason I'd consider him underrated is just because now that he is healthy, and I think. Tuchel came out and said that he thinks he's a better player off the bench or something like that, and that's just mental when you have some of the players at Chelsea who get a ton of minutes and are horrible, and then you have him coming off the bench for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Does he think he's the best 12 man?
He said something. I mean, I think he said something like that. Like, he's impactful off the bench. That's why he's only playing 20 minutes at the moment. So
that's bollocks, because he was probably their best player last year.
Yeah, and some of the players they have playing are
horrific, but they just get the job done. It's just terrible.
He played under Tuchel, didn't he, at Dortmund, right?
Yeah.
So I'm surprised he's not playing more, to be honest. But
lads, any thoughts on England?
Fucking boring. Two CDMs against Dog and Duck United.
Yeah,
no, I think that's really
the Albania game was a bit boring, to be fair. But I mean, he hasn't really changed the team much tonight for Poland.
That's going to be his team, and we were just on about that off camera. I've just looked for the lineup. I think that's going to be his team, other than maybe, I hope, Grealish. But I've just got a feeling inside me he's just not having him, is he? I don't know.
He loves Mount, doesn't he? I like Mount. Yeah, no, I know. I do like Mount, but it's not like he's going to be the one that gets sacrificed for Grealish, because Mount will play.
Yeah.
And I just don't think Grealish will work.
It's fitting. I can see if he's back. I'm assuming Henderson's going to be back. I can see Henderson coming in for Foden or Phillips.
Hope it's
Phillips has got to go, surely.
Yeah, I wouldn't be starting Phillips. We'll save more of it when we do our Euro special, but.
And you mean you've made your name as a wheeler and dealer? It's not been much wheeling and dealing,
Aaron. No, I'm not a wheeler and dealer. No, fuck off.
Oh, no, I didn't mean it like that. Don't say that.
Yeah, I think that's enough boring international bollocks. I think we'll straight on to the Delaware Messiah himself, Sammy. I think it might be good for people if you explain kind of how the system works in America, like. You getting ranked number one, like, because obviously you've explained it to us because we didn't really understand it. So, what was kind of your journey from high school then to college? Because you played D1 to begin with before coming to Wilmu, didn't you?
Yeah, so the system itself obviously is extremely flawed. and that's why the term gets thrown around like pay to play. So, before even high school, I wasn't even playing in Delaware anymore. I'd go into clubs in Pennsylvania and stuff like that just because my parents could. Shuffle the money enough for me to go get better training, go play on better teams. So I didn't come back to Delaware till I was maybe 16 years old, because I was playing in other states around. And I came back to Delaware just because I was driving an hour and 15 each way to training 3 or 4 times a week before that. So I kind of just bagged it and came back to Delaware because I couldn't, from the club I was playing for in out of state before I came back to Delaware, I don't think we were allowed to play high school soccer if we played for that club. So I wanted to play high school soccer and I wanted to come back locally. So I came back and played club in Delaware, and then I played in high school again. And the whole ranking system is kind of just based off of local Delaware kids or whatever high school you're playing for at the time. So like, I wasn't officially ranked number one in terms of the state until I was a senior. So until I was like 18 years old, because it just goes based off class. So
yeah,
it's kind of just it depends on what team you play for and what your stats are for the most part. But I mean, that's kind of how the system works. Delaware is small in itself. So if you want to look at, like you said, I did go to a Division I school, but, and I kind of see it now more often because I'm coaching younger kids now, and you can see these kids who have their mindset on playing Division I without even really having a realization of what that means. And like, I was kind of in the same spot. Like, I remember when I transferred to Wilmington, I think it was after I had transferred, and me and Coach Nick, who was our coach at Wilmington, had a conversation like, you know, why he never recruited me when I was in high school. He was recruiting kids from my club team and everything, but we never even had a discussion about Wilmington. And he kind of just said to me, like, I could see that your mind was set on playing Division I, so I didn't even make an effort. So, and that's kind of how it was. And it's flawed because if you're not, and so it's kind of how I try to explain to kids now, is if you're not getting, and if you're not actively being offered by like the top 25 schools in Division I, which is like your Wake Forces, your Clemsons, all that stuff, then Division I doesn't really mean anything. Because if you go to those schools, it's kind of like, you know, if you look at it like the Premier League, like you have your top teams like Chelsea, Man United, and stuff like that. But if you get to the bottom of the table, I mean, those are basically championship teams. So it's kind of the same. It's kind of the same in Division I. If you're not playing for those top 25 teams, you're not even guaranteed to get any offers or get any looks for pro or not like that. And the level is not that much different. So, like, you guys know, like, the University of Delaware, then my school, NJIT, and all stuff, there's a kind of, like, the second tier of Division I. So,
yeah.
Once I went there, I played there, and I didn't love it, and I made a decision to transfer. So, that's kind of how the system works.
Well, Coach Nick actually messaged me to say, knowing you were coming on, to ask, I think it would be good for you to talk about the difference between D1 and D2, which I think you kind of have, but it is kind of that thing, like, I don't know. I don't know if, like, I've been watching that Last Chance U. You've been watching that, the basketball one.
Yeah, I watched all the football ones, but I didn't watch
the basketball. Yeah, I watched the basketball one's class. It's like it's only just come out. And all of them, obviously, they're at community, and like, all of them are saying, like, I don't even care if I go pro. I just want to go and play D1. Like, it's like, I don't know, it's hard for people in England to kind of grasp that. And
they don't comprehend it, do they? Because we understood being out there that, like, even with the March Madness stuff, you look at, like, UNC and these massive schools, like, that gets more coverage on ESPN than the NBA does within that month. So it's like, you want to go and be part of that if you can, if you're good enough. But like
Sammy's saying, if you're not at those top schools, there is, in quality, there really isn't much of a difference. Like, we never lost to University of Delaware when we played them in spring, which... they weren't that good. Like, they honestly weren't. They've got some decent players, but they were no better than us. Like, hence why they couldn't beat us. And it is one of them. So obviously you obviously didn't regret then coming to Wilmington off with how it went, kind of thing.
No, for sure no. Because like I said, I didn't enjoy necessarily my time at NJIT. I think I kind of got in a funk when I was there. And I think you touched on it a little bit in one of the episodes. I think when you mentioned Tom Fuller and you said his attitude about being here, like, it was kind of, you didn't want it to wear off on you.
Yeah.
That's how I felt when I got there. It was like, everybody kind of had a shitty attitude, and I felt like I wasn't enjoying playing that much anymore. Like, I was, like, before in high school, when I was, you know, when I got the ranking or whatever like that, like, I was, like, days when I would have training, like, all throughout the school day, like, the only thing I could think about was going to training. Like, I couldn't wait to go to training. And then when I got there, it was like, I couldn't wait to just get training over with. Like, I just, it was kind of fairly miserable. The playing style was all about, you know, being physical, strong, fast. It wasn't really much about how your ability on the ball.
And
our playing style was really direct, which I don't love to play at all. And I was just kind of really miserable. So I remember fairly early, I texted Lance and asked him, because I knew they were going to have a really good team that year at Wilmington, which was his last year. And I just immediately started talking to him about how it was going and what it was like, because I was thinking about getting out of there after 1 year.
Jesus. So would you say, how would you describe your time at Wilmere then? A lot, obviously, the playing, we've touched on the playing style, which obviously suits you, a more technical player. Suited me, obviously, a lot more. And just talk about how brilliant it was to play with me up front.
No, I think when I first came, it was kind of like a hangover from my time at NJIT. Like, I was still not that excited. Like, I would kind of just lost the love for the sport almost. And I talked to Coach Nick about it in one of our individual meetings. I said, like, you know, I was so miserable for in terms of playing, and I wasn't enjoying my soccer that much more anymore, and I was getting in a funk, and I wanted to just get back to like how I felt beforehand and enjoying it. And so the first year was off and on. I think for the most part, all of us went through it, some funk at some point about playing. And when you get in that, it's kind of hard to get out. So it took me a little while to start enjoying it again. And you guys had Lauren on, and I know you talked a little bit about Abdul. And so the first 2 years, like, they were both there, they were both playing. So our playing style was kind of directed towards them and them scoring the goals and stuff like that. And then our final year, I think when they both weren't, they both weren't playing anymore. And it was kind of like a, almost like a free for all. It was like, go out there and just play and have fun. We didn't really have any expectations. We didn't really have a set game plan or a system. So it was kind of like we were just playing free again.
I think you was right though in what you're saying about playing free, because it's so, I think it helped me and you massively, the fact that, if we're being honest, we kind of knew we weren't going to get dropped no matter what, because and that just allowed us just to play free. And that's why I think we did have such a good year, especially as a partnership. I think, like you say, neither of us are really that fast, but we're both quite intelligent, good on the ball. And when you've got Will behind you, just Will create the magic. And as long as we're in and around helping or linking up. I mean, some of the goals we scored where we were linking up, it was brilliant. Obviously, you've got Fred coming off, putting balls in. You've got, like you say, it was so fun. And I always think back to fucking, if we would have just had like maybe a day's more break, I think we would have beat Adelphi. We were down to the bare bones anyway. Like, Cal wasn't playing, Dimi wasn't playing, there was other people
think,
like,
I don't think Manu played.
Yeah, well, we literally had no one.
He was injured.
It was a massive regret as well, because I honestly think we could have really gone far in nationals, especially when you see Westchester get to the final, who we peppered, really.
I literally remember that Adelphi game, just throughout the game, just feeling so flat.
Half, I was
like, obviously, it was a huge game and I was so up for it, but like, even during it, I was like, oh my God, like, I'm so zapped here. Like,
I think second half, we just couldn't muster anything, could we? It was just really painful, really. But so, Sammy, what were your first impressions of us three?
Yeah, there was a question, actually, that said, was your first impression of me the same as everyone else's? Basically, that I'm a massive weirdo. and I thought about the first time I met you, and that was actually a document signing day as well, because you and Pinder were sitting behind me. I don't know if you remember. And that was when you both had your long blonde ponytails. And I was
Sammy used to have such long hair.
I was looking at beautiful hair, Sam, back in the day.
I was looking at you both and I was like, oh, these two pretty.
Well, I think it'll be good to get like an American perspective on it, because I know obviously Kellard and stuff were there already. So you'd had an experience of English people, but I don't think they're like us, really. They're a bit more reserved, I suppose. So is it a bit like, fucking hell, these like English lads are like, a bit.
No, well, I came the spring before, so I had already had a semester with all the guys that year. So I knew all the foreign kids that were there the year before. But for the most part, I think, I'm trying to remember. I don't remember exactly how I first felt about L, but I think L's expectations were that he was going to be immediately starting as the center back, and that he was going to be one of the leaders on the team. I mean, you could tell, and I think, L is extremely weird, but in terms of him, he was our captain for, how many years were you captain for? Were you immediately captain the first year? I don't think so.
No, not my freshman year. I was captain sophomore year and junior year, and basically the last year.
I think I was more mad about L getting his armband stripped than he was. L was really vocal and he was solid at the back. And in terms of being a captain the couple of years after, I think I respected L honestly more than most captains, because sometimes you get captains who are too serious, or they're very talented to be around. Whereas L's really serious on the field and he's barking orders, but when he comes off the pitch, he's going to have a laugh and he's going to have fun. So
he was very well balanced, wasn't he, to be fair to him?
Yeah, those are the kind of captains that you want on your team. I don't want someone who's going to be.
I always found it weird with like the first times we got out there, obviously, like the first couple of years, or the first year anyway, we had like three captains. Yeah, and I was like, I've obviously never seen this before in my life. Yeah, but I was just like, what is going on? There's so many different personalities. Everyone's trying to be the big dog. Like, it doesn't work like that, I don't think, anyway.
I hate the way that is. It's the same. It was the same when I was in high school. It's the same in high school now when I'm coaching. It's like you have three. Sometimes you have four. And a lot of the time it's just based off if you're a senior or if you've been there for a while. And that's I hate it. I think you should have one and then two max. But I think one's a better system to have.
I thought it worked well with Elliot and Vinny, actually.
Yeah, that those two.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it. Yeah.
I enjoyed it because then I could, like, if anything went wrong, I'd just blame Vinny.
No, but then, Tom, I think, Tom, you were the only person I had. I remember exactly how I felt the first time because you were, you and I think Tom Fuller as well were just super outgoing, super loud from the beginning. And I did not like you, but I just knew that, you know, your attitude was like, you know, you were the top dog. And it was kind of, I wasn't mad about it, but you were super loud and outgoing and that, and I knew you were going to.
No, just if you hated him, just say it.
No, I didn't hate him, but he redshirted that year, obviously. So we didn't spend a lot of time together. And
yeah, we didn't really get close until maybe the final 2 years, I suppose. Like that, because you were very reserved. I think that's why I asked you about the whole English thing. So I think to begin with, I wasn't sure if you kind of got me and others. I think you were a bit like, whoa. But then obviously a bit like Fred, the more we spent together, the more you kind of became like us. Like we just rubbed off on you.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And at that time, still like local guys like Alex, Luke and Pinder were still there. So I could still, be in a group with those guys. So until they left, I was mostly around them. And then when they left, I kind of shuffled up towards you and Vinny, I think for the most part, and your guys, the house you guys were in at the time. And then Cal, I don't really remember how I felt about him at the beginning, but I liked Cal basically from the start. I mean, Cal is, I think, a little bit like me. Like, he likes to have fun, but he's kind of also, you know, reserved a little bit, so.
Yeah, we spent quite a lot of time together, like, first year. I think we had a class together or something like that, like. Yeah, I remember spending a lot of time together somehow, but we always were quite close from first year anyway. I understand, though, Sam, I'm quite reserved. Like, Tom can be a bit too much and so can Elle sometimes. Yeah, so sure. I sometimes like to just fuck off and leave them to it.
I just want to be in my zone, man.
But, like, going back to that, like, playing with all the internationals and stuff, we had a few questions about it. Like, did you find it, like, different from obviously going to high school then playing at NJIT? I don't know how many internationals were there, but, like, playing with internationals, like, did it change the way you played? Did you find it more difficult, find it easier playing with, like, possibly more technical players? Or
no, I didn't. I liked it better being with more internationals, I think, than not, because kind of like I was talking about at NJIT, NJIT had a fair amount of internationals, but there was also a lot of local New Jersey kids, and I think the international kids take it a little bit more serious than most American kids. Like, I remember when I was at NJIT, we had a kid, we had two seniors who were both, one was from New Jersey, one was from Delaware, and they were similar to us. Like, we didn't love going to training, we weren't having that much fun, and even one of the kids who was from New Jersey, who was a senior, had offers. I mean, he had teams looking at him. He played center back, and he was probably one of the best defenders I've ever played with, but he had, like, New York Red Bulls and MLS teams who were looking at him, and I remember our coach pulling him into the office one time and telling him that there was MLS teams interested in him, and he could care less. He was like, I'm not doing it now.
I mean, really?
Like, that's kind of like how the attitude was. A lot of kids were just fed up at that point. Like, it kind of just drained you out. I mean, your love for the game kind of just got yanked from you, and that's kind of how the attitude was. So I think when I got back to Wilmington and there's a lot more foreign kids, a lot of them are more, you know, serious. I prefer it probably that way than not. And I think, you know, we play like the gimmick of the whole 302 and like being an American thing. But like, for the most part, I'm probably one of the least American kids, I think, if I would put it that way. Like, I'm not obsessed with the American culture. I don't.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
To be fair, though, living in Delaware for a while, like, if anyone tries to talk shit about Delaware now, I'm like, no, fuck off. That's my That's not the hometown.
No one talks shit about Delo because no one knows.
I don't give a fuck.
You know the people that I say, oh yeah, I went to Union Delaware. They're like, where's that? I just say, oh, basically New Jersey. They're like, oh, New Jersey, yeah, decent.
Oh, I'll just say, oh, it's by Philadelphia. I'm like, oh yeah, Rocky. Yeah, Rocky.
We did get asked though, Sammy. Who did you enjoy playing with most out of the three of us?
I mean, I can't lie. You can't really say me or Cal because we're defenders. Like,
mate, we had a nice partnership on the left hand side. I tell you not.
No, I think I would if Cal
you
was.
You better think really carefully about this answer.
Really,
I'll share my award with you. All right, my award.
It's got to be Tom, isn't it, really? Realistically, like, I know...
Let the man speak.
Yeah. No, don't let him speak.
Like, I know it's... I know you're probably...
You know about football?
I know you're probably going to say me, but you should probably say Tom.
No, I would say Tom, but there is a but.
Yeah.
I would probably say maybe Cal if he was healthier more often, but he just was never playing, so...
No, I must say, I like playing with Cal because Cal would always give you the ball, always.
Yeah.
Ellie used to sometimes piss me off when he was a wing back. I'll be like, yeah, and he'd try and run past. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
Hold on. I will find the clip the other week of you saying how much you rated me at right back. So take that back right now.
I'll just rate you highly anyway, El, but what I loved about Cal was Cal would just always give me the ball. Like, even when he probably shouldn't have, he'd always give me the ball. And I like players like that. Just give me.
I did rate you at outside back though. You were solid.
That's the first Americanism we've had. Yeah. Outside back.
Yeah, I played both, mate. Honestly, Jessica, put me anywhere. I'll do a job. Whatever.
No, but I would say Cal, just because I think more often than not we got along. Like, whereas at training, I think. Sometimes when we would do small-sided games, and you know how whenever Tom wins small-sided games, he's on your ass about everything.
On you, yeah.
And he would just piss me off sometimes.
To be fair, Jester, I've got to be honest. Do you remember that one Friday? Oh, this is going to be funny. Remember that
one?
Remember that one Friday when we used to play indoor and Coach wasn't there, so Mario and Cope took it. And Lance was there that one day. And obviously Cope was just like... the most annoying ref when it comes to small sided games. Because, like, you'd literally get two footed in the throat and it'd be like, play on, you're going to get bad calls in the game. It's how you react. So then everyone would just be going off on one, like, he's nearly killed him. What is going on? I remember you, Sam, you lost your head that day and you were like, this is bullshit, man, like storming off the pitch. And then Lance had to, like, bollock everyone. That was the first time I'd actually properly seen you get, like, proper emotional.
I really took those Kirkwood games seriously. Those Fridays were probably the best.
That was our escape because we were just running the rest of the week.
But even in terms of the fall, I mean, the fall you obviously get games, like real games, because you're in season. But in terms of training, like the Kirkwood was the most enjoyable.
It was so intense, wasn't it?
What I used to find, like, throughout the season anyway, obviously, like, for lads that are listening, like, throughout season, we've got a lot of games going on, but we still have to train most of the time within that. But you'd always want to get past, I remember, like, for the first 2 years or whatever, you'd always want to get past, like, the 60-65 minute mark just to make sure you didn't have to train tomorrow. So you get there and you'd be like, I'd look at the scoreboard and be like, fucking 65 minutes and no training.
For, like, defenders like you, like, defenders, we didn't really used to sub the defenders a lot. But me and Sam, so many times, would have played 60 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's like...
I remember you, Garrett. We sat at home and you'd be checking your minutes, like, when you got taken on and off.
Because obviously... Well, again, for the lads watching, it's roll on, roll off. So there would be times in a game where, I don't know, you might have had a mad 10-minute spell where you fucked. You're like, yeah, coach just takes you off for like 5 minutes or something. Or he takes you off, just gets someone else on for the last 10 minutes. So, like, and honestly, so many times I've played like 62 minutes or something. So obviously there's no injury time or nothing, unless it goes to overtime. That's what I used to look, to be fair. The amount of overtimes that saved me from training was fucking unreal. But that was such a stupid rule. I'd be so, I'd have the hump, and I was the type to, like, then I'm like, right, I'm gonna make this bad for everyone now because I've got a fucking train.
even
a good attitude to have, lads. Always be like that.
But the problem was, even if you didn't get the minutes, but you had like an injury or something, you had an excuse, you could get out of training. Whereas like I never had, really for the most part, an injury that could give me an excuse to get out of anything. So
why are you looking at Kyle when you said that?
I don't know. I think I know why, but
now
back to the thing that you were talking about. I remember that because, like I said, those Kirkwoods are really serious. And I think that year, I think those when Lance was coming back and doing a lot of the Friday sessions and Jay would come in and all that stuff, like it would get super intense. And
yeah, I mean, one session Jay booted Dimmy in the head and he had a concussion.
We were in the final of the little tournament we were having, and I think it was tied or something, and Jay tried to do a bike and he kicked Dimmy in the face, and so they called the foul or whatever, or they blew the whistle. But then when we went to start the play again, Cope decided to do a drop ball instead of giving us the foul. So Jay had a drop ball right in front of our goal, like 5 yards away from the goal. And I was just going off about it. I just started freaking out.
The best bit about that was, like, obviously we got told off after Cope and Mario was like, listen, we can't ignore what happened today. We're gonna have to tell coach about this.
And we ran our bollocks off.
Yeah, and then Monday morning, we're waiting inside Kirkwood, and then Tony D comes storming in. I'm storming in like that. We're all like, so I get a call on Friday about you guys messing around in the tournament. That's it. I'm the baseline. And we were all like,
oh, no, just quickly, the worst one ever for me, where I honestly wanted to fight Juan when he was kept back chatting to Cope.
Yeah.
And he was like, you keep talking, we keep running. And Juan's like, obviously, for people know, Juan was our captain.
Yeah.
And he was like a fitness freak. Like, Juan could just go all day. And I'm not joking, we'd probably done 12 fucking suicides. And I'm like on death's door. And Juan's like, I don't care. I'll go all day. Like, you're out of order, Cope. And I'm like, Juan, you shut the fuck up. I'm done running.
I think it was because someone missed a line when it was like, Cope was like, hey, they missed the line. And Juan was like, that's bullshit. No one missed the line. And Cope was like, oh, you want to do more? Juan was like, yeah, okay, let's do more.
Like, you calling me a liar? You calling me a liar? And Juan was like, I ain't calling you a truther. And honestly, I was so angry at Juan. And to be fair, he did apologise to us in the dressing room. But I don't think I heard it because I was having a cardiac arrest. I couldn't believe he was doing that. I was like, I kept missing the time. I was like, if he didn't make the time, everyone goes again. And I was like, this is, and in my head, I'm like, this is never going to end.
In terms of fitness, and I think you guys talked about it on one of the episodes before, is like the fitness is unreal. Like, there's nothing you could do to be prepared for it. Like, it's just, and I always tell, like, there's this one story from, I guess I'll tell you, but it's from NJIT the year before I went to Wilmington. Is we had preseason and we went to the beach, and I always tell this story to like the kids who I coach who ask me like how the fitness is and stuff. So we went to the beach for preseason one day and our warm-up was on the sand. We did like 3 miles, and then we were doing sprints, like suicides on the beach on the sand for like almost an hour. And it was like the scene, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie from Saving Private Ryan, but
yeah.
The scene was like on the beach and kids were like dead, like laying out on the sand. they were throwing up. Like, we would run sprints, we were doing like relay races, so you would go and then you'd come back, and then the next person in your line would go and come back. And as you would go and come back and your next partner would go, the kids would just be bent over, just throwing up in the sand everywhere. And then you get like 10 seconds of rest and your partner would come back and then you would go again. It was unreal. I mean, the fitness is crazy.
Do you think it was harder at NJIT than it was at WMU? Or as hard as?
I would say overall, probably, but the first 2 days at Wilmington are the worst, or way worse, in terms of just those 2 days. Because
honestly, like, I know we talked about it before, but like that 3 mile the first day in the morning, as soon as it's done, I would But like the first 2 days, as soon as they're done, I'd already be thinking about next summer's 3 mile. I'd be like, oh. Literally, I've got 363 days until we have to do this again, but I'm already nervous. So I'm really
nervous. But the crazy thing is for the 3 mile, which I did, I only made the 3 mile one time, which was my junior year. But the other two,
that's pathetic, mate. I made it 4 years in a row. But
the other 2 years, like the, I guess I would run my stopwatch. So if the, at the first mile I wasn't on time, I would just give up. Like I would just like, I remember my first year, I was, me, Jeff and Pinder were on like this, we were at like 2 miles, maybe 2.5 miles, and we were way off the time. And we just started walking for like 2 minutes. We were like,
I've got a good story on that. My first year, obviously Jeff was in the group before us, went. I catch up to Jeff and he's really struggling. So I kind of slow down running with him. And he's like, bro, you know, we're not going to make it. Do you want to stop? And obviously, like, it's my first day pre-season. I'm like, Jeff was the captain. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, yeah, do you want to walk for a bit? And I was like, okay, I'll walk. We just started walking. I honestly might have made the time. Like, I was, because obviously he was before me, but I think he must have thought I went with him. And he's like, yeah, look, peer pressure means to stop him. So I'm just there walking, and Cope's on the side in his car, like, you've got to. Like, you're on this and that, come on. I'm like, oh, fucking, I don't know what to do. He's telling me to run. Jeff's telling me to walk. I was like, I didn't know what to do. Fucking useless Mexican.
But I probably have to be good. No, but yeah, we're going to have to do it the next day either way, so.
I just remember being my first day, and I was like, oh, this is such a bad impression. But then second or third year in, I think Jesse beat me. I just literally, what? I went so slow.
Oh, I wouldn't be telling people that, mate.
No, I just knew in my head, and I had conversations with Coach about it. He's like, I know you'll never make it. Like, I don't expect you to. It's just a mental test for, like, the new lads and stuff. Like, I couldn't make that 3 mile run at Glasgow if I trained for a year.
No chance.
I just haven't got it in me. Whereas when it's flat, like when we did it at Kirkwood, I made it. That was an easier 3 mile. Like, I don't think it was fully 3 mile either, but yeah, Jesus. It's just
that kind of goes on, like, not to that extent, but with a lot of us players, like, it comes down to, we're talking about, like, whether you can bother to do stuff. A few people asked, Who's the laziest out of the three of us, or who, in your experience, who have you seen to be one of the lazier people around the team? So I'll leave that to you, Sammy.
Wait, just from you three?
Yeah, just from us three. Someone asked. Oh. I don't think you're very lazy, though. You work hard.
Who, me?
Yeah.
I would agree somewhat. Like, I would probably prepare for 2 weeks for preseason, 3 weeks for preseason. But in terms of fitness, I mean, I think Tom's probably lazy.
He's got to be, isn't he?
On you, Jester, you know what sits in my mind, like, really vividly? I wouldn't say you were lazy. I mean, you and Tom as a centre-forward partnership wasn't the most lung-busting of duos, I have to admit.
See, but I actually think we were quite...
No, I'd say you were smarter. I remember, like, people used to be like, oh, Garrett and Jester, like, they don't run and stuff. And I was like, no, they don't. It's not they don't run. It's just that they press in the right times, I'd say. When we were pressing anyway. But, like, obviously, from just, like, the outside looking in, like, you could suggest that your body language was a bit, like, passive towards pressing. But anyway, at that Le Moyne game, Jester, I've never seen you run so much in my life. You were playing right back. You were up front. You were playing right back. Right.
It made me crazy. He was like, Jester was in, like, tears playing left back, just, like, kicking every ball that came to him, like,
like Will Stone. Will was putting you through for a one-on-one. The next time I see it, you're sweeping up round by Ellis, the right back. I'm like,
I do remember. But I think at that point, it was mostly adrenaline, because I didn't really even have to be defending, because we won that game, like, what was it, 4-1?
4-1, yeah.
4-1, so I didn't even think, like, but I was just so set on getting out of that game at 4-1.
That game was so mad, though. Like you say, I think it was adrenaline, because I think, I did believe we could win, but I built it up in my head, like, this massive game against this really good side, and then we absolutely battered them, and I was like, what is going on here? It's like one of the most fun games I've ever been in.
Yeah, I was so gutted to miss that game. Yeah,
I wish you'd have experienced it with us, to be fair. But, like, I just remember each goal that went in. Like, I felt like a kid, like, when you score, like, in a tournament.
Yeah, mate, it was, you know, man. I mean? It was,
like, every goal went in, we were like, oh, my God, yeah!
No, but to be fair, like Tom said, we thought it was going to be so difficult. Like, I remember, because I was a senior that year, I remember we were in the hotel the night before, and I was just thinking to myself, like, because we had just lost the conference championship, so we weren't, we weren't super amped. Like,
and we had so many people injured and out.
I was kind of in the hotel room, like, not thinking we were going to lose, but I just kind of was like, I have to learn to accept that this may be our last game.
We were all rooming together, weren't we? Then
Me and Jester
in a room. We had the door between our rooms.
That was so much fun. Just for context, we walked down and we're in the hotel for a couple of nights anyway. We walked down and Jester and Elliot go in one room and then we're in the next room along. We see this like door in between. I'm like, surely that's not a door to like get into each other's room. We open it up and we see like them two on the other side of the door and we're like,
I've got a question for you, Sammy. I think you have told us before. Am I right in saying that you played with Jack Harrison?
Yeah, so like one of the things on Instagram, one of the questions was saying like what kind of expectations or what came with being the player of the year in Delaware. It was like
the GOAT.
Nothing really, because like in my senior year of high school, after I had one player of the year, you have a All-American game. So it's like every player of the year from every state and some added extra would get into one game. And I played against Jack Harrison that day. I actually played with him. He's on my team, but I don't think he played that much, but he, cause he was
basically you fight over him.
But he was the overall player of the year for the country. So every state gets a player of the year. And then one of those player of the years would be the overall player of the year for the whole country. And I think he was the player of the year for the U.S. that year. And I played with him that day, but I played against him other times because he played at a club he played at a club in New York called Manhattan PSG, I think. But we played like against tournaments. Yeah, they wore a full PSG uniform and everything. And we played against them a lot of times in tournaments. He's probably in terms of names, maybe the most notable out of the bunch because
was he that good, Sam?
Well, like I said, he didn't play a ton in that game when he was on my team, but I don't think he ever did. Obviously, he's a phenomenal player, but in terms of the people I've played against or played with, there's other kids who I think who have impressed me like to different levels compared to him, but he also didn't play that much, so.
When you were there, though, were all the kids like, bro, that's Jack Harrison, man. It's JH right there. You like?
I mean, at that point, he was a high school kid who committed to play at Wake Forest. Like he wasn't a MLS player or a Premier League player yet. So he was kind of just.
But were you saying like, that's the British guy?
No, because there's a ton of kids.
That's a British girl.
That's a star QB.
Like in that All-American game, there was a kid who, he's from Africa, but I don't know what country it was or exactly, but his name was Edward Opoku, but he went to Virginia after that. But
he's Congolese.
At that All-American game, he hadn't even committed to a school yet, and I think they were at that game, and he was unreal that day. That's probably one of the best, like the best players I've ever played with, like on the field at the same time. Like he tore us to shreds. So,
some boy, old Eddie.
Yeah, but I think he plays in the MLS now, or he plays for one of the PSL teams or whatever.
He's Kenyan.
I'm surprised you know that. I didn't think
you said he was Congolese.
No, yeah, he's Ugandan. So we'll move on to, I think we covered everything, have we, in America?
Yeah,
so.
With the journey, we can talk a bit about Barca and stuff if you want.
Yeah, well, obviously, as you can tell by his shirt, he's a Barcelona fan. Sammy J. Before you come in the comments, like, oh, plastic. Like, Sam would literally get up at like 5 a.m. to watch Barcelona, and Cal wouldn't even do that for Bournemouth. He would if Spurs were playing, but he wouldn't even do that for Bournemouth.
Jester, we actually had a question. A lad was like, do you get, I mean, I suppose other than at uni, you really not like sort of used to hang around with English and European people. But the question was like, do you get annoyed that Europeans will just assume that you really don't know much about football because you're American?
Nah, I don't get annoyed. But I remember I went into the comments on one of Tom's TikToks, and it was about, it was like, why don't Americans support their local MLS team? And like, I was having a good time in the comments, because some of the kids, some of the people are crazy. Like, I could probably count the amount of times I've either watched or been to an MLS game with my fingers. I've probably been to like 3 or 4 games and probably watched 3 or 4 on TV. Like,
yeah,
the quality and just the atmosphere itself is nothing like, obviously, European soccer. And
people who don't understand, like, it's just a different culture as well. Like, it's not, people aren't like that with sports teams. In like, people don't go and follow the Lakers home and away. Like, people just don't do that. Like, it's not as like religious as it is over here, I suppose, or to the point where it's like home games, they do, don't they? Like, you never get away fans at like a lot of games, do you? Like,
I feel like more American football fans will travel to away games and stuff, because I think they have a bigger allocation. But basketball, I think, is quite rare, isn't it?
Probably, yeah. Basketball is more rare.
Well, no, you just tend to get, like, when we went to the basketball game, Boston versus Philadelphia. Yeah,
you'd get fans from
people there who just have Boston shirts.
They live in Philly, yeah, you like Boston.
But it's not like a segregated area with police around them all, like, keeping them away.
And also, a lot of...
because we're nutters.
A lot of basketball games are... they're not, sometimes, most, for the most part, they're probably not that serious, because they play 80 some games
season.
Like, I went and saw the Sixers play the Jazz, and it was like the middle of the season. The game didn't really even matter that much, and by the time it got to the third quarter, I was like, I'm gonna leave, because the game was just dead.
I mean, you're not helping yourself here.
No, but that's just the thing, is like, I'm for the most part, American sports, like, I don't love to watch them. And
I think especially with MLS, like, even like some of my pals would be like, do they not like support their, like, I mean, like you were saying that TikTok, do they not support their local MLS team or stuff like that? And you do get people, I feel like, I mean, well, Philadelphia Union are a pretty relatively new team. They're like 2009,
Philadelphia came from fans who supported the team that weren't a team. So it's like,
it's like,
how can you support your local team if there's not a local team?
The MLS was actually, well, like, instated in what, 95, I think, 94, something like that. So you got to think, they are literally like 70 odd years behind, even more probably behind, like, the English system in terms of professional top
league. People in England don't even realise your local team in America might be 2 hours away.
Yeah.
The Union is
such a big country, that's just how it is. Like,
the Union is, the Philadelphia Union is really fairly new. And when I was younger, like, at maybe 13 or 14, when I was playing club soccer in Pennsylvania, when they announced that the Union was going to be an MLS team, but they were still maybe a year or two out from actually having a team in the MLS. They just made the announcement that they were coming to Philadelphia. And so they started this program called, like, the Union Juniors, which was like basically pre-academy, because they couldn't have an academy team yet because they didn't have an MLS team yet.
So, yeah.
They just started this kind of thing called the Union Juniors, and I played in that for a year or two. And then once the Union came into the MLS and then they started their own academy, they had, like, this whole system where they had this tryout stuff. And I remember it got fairly political in terms of who they were taking on the team into the academy. And me and my dad just made the decision that we weren't going to stick around for it at that time. But I was really young, but I was involved in, like, the pre-academy, which you would call it. But
I do think it's hard for America, because, like, for such a huge country with, like, the unbelievable, like, population of athletes that there are in America, I do question sometimes, like, how they can turn it around and, like, for the MLS to become, like,
it's a strong league. Like Sammy was saying, it's too much of a rich boy sport. Like, unless you've got money, you don't play soccer. Like, it's not like here where people, their basketball is like our football. You can come from nothing and kind of do. We can't be soccer, can you, really, Sam? Unless you're really lucky, I suppose.
No, I mean, you see every couple. I mean, it can happen. For the most part, it won't. And like that, like I was saying earlier, it's kind of like a pay to play. Like, I was involved in clubs in Pennsylvania because my parents could afford to take me out of state.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
with that came opportunities. Like, that, when I was younger, I think it was 2009. I got involved with, like, this American thing that they were going to send kids over to Brazil. So I went to Brazil and played for a week with the academy at Fluminense. And that's like, that's like the club that, you know, Marcelo came from. And I actually, he was there when I was at there at the time in 2009. We went there, we trained for a week and like with like 30 some American kids. Then at the end of the week, we played like a tournament with their academy kids and our kids. And like, we were all together and they kind of just mixed us up into teams. And that's actually a different story. Marcelo was there and he was playing at Real Madrid at the time, but he wasn't a regular starter. And I think he was injured and he didn't have like the curly hair or anything. He had like the
He used to have a skinhead, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, he was shaved head. And I think he was injured at Real Madrid at the time. So he went back to Brazil and he was there one day when we were training. And I didn't really know much about him other than the fact that he played at Real Madrid, but he wasn't one of the big names there at the time. And I remember I got his signature on one of my shoes because it's the only thing I really had on me at the time. And before we left to come back to America, my dad cleaned my shoes and cleaned the signature right off the shoes.
No.
And I was angry, but I wasn't that pissed because he wasn't super famous.
Yeah, he wasn't like a big player, yeah.
And then two or
was
three
he a Real Madrid player? Fuck him.
And then two or three, yeah, obviously. And then 2 or 3 years later, he was starting for him, and that's when I kind of got upset about it. But but that whole thing, like, I got to go to Brazil, I got to play out of state because my parents could afford to put me there. But that's kind of how our system works. And one thing, yeah, in terms of supporting European soccer is like how we've talked about it before is how I came to support Barcelona is because like that's the only thing you can see on TV in terms of European soccer is the big teams at the time. So
yeah.
I remember it was the 2005-2006 season, the year that Barcelona and Arsenal played in the Champions League final. And I was just a big fan of Ronaldinho and Thierry Henry. So I kind of got introduced to that European in terms of soccer at that point because they were really some of the only teams that were on TV at the time. And I remember after that Champions League run, which I think Messi was only 18th time, I think.
Yeah, he missed the final through injury.
No, he missed the – one thing that people don't realize is that they were undefeated that whole Champions League run. They never lost a single game in the group stage and the knockouts. And he was starting for the team the entire time until the round of 16 where he got injured in the second leg against Chelsea. But that first leg where they played at Chelsea, I think you've probably seen the videos before where he's in like a highlighter green uniform.
Yeah.
He's 18 years old and he's tearing them apart.
That was really, I think he was wearing Tiempos back then as well.
I think he was. But he got injured in that second leg. So he would have been starting throughout the entire Champions League on a team that didn't lose a game and then ended up winning the final. But
so he's basically got another Champions League medal. Like,
well, he does, but he didn't play
in the final. What, from that season?
Yeah, he played most of the games.
Yeah, he was starting on the team until he got injured.
You don't not get a medal just because you didn't play the final.
No, to be fair, I was thinking of a completely different final, so just ignore it.
Otherwise, Ronaldo would never Euros. Ooh.
So that was the first time I was introduced to, like, European soccer at the time. And one thing that's different, I think, in terms of us to you guys is, like, when you guys are old enough to play sports, which I don't know when it's maybe, like, 4, 5, 6 years old, you kind of – my guess is that you guys kind of get pushed into soccer like immediately almost at that point. Whereas like in America, it's like the first thing you do is you play every sport and then you choose which one you like from there. Like I was playing American football. I was playing soccer and like I was playing multiple sports and like my brother was playing basketball, baseball. And then you kind of narrow it down from there to which one you like more. So by the time I quit every other sport and was only playing soccer, I was like 9 years old at that time. So that's when I started to really take it seriously and start watching it on TV. And that's kind of like when that all happened with Barcelona and Arsenal. And then after that year, I remember like my brother bought a Thierry Henry Arsenal jersey and I got a Messi Barcelona jersey. And that was the year after when he was number 19. They had that orange kit. I still have it. But
no, I was like, go on, go.
Al used to borrow that off you, didn't they?
The Cal used to borrow that.
Yeah, Cal could fit in it, but.
Tom could fit in it then.
So yeah, it was like 2005-2006 was when I kind of started supporting them. And that's really because the only time you're going to get it on TV is mostly Champions League, or you're going to get maybe you'll get a couple big games like Barcelona, Real Madrid, or Man United, Liverpool, or anything like that. That's the only thing you're mostly going to get on TV.
It was the same with me as a kid. Like, you could never get Spurs on the telly. It was just United. So, even though I'm an old man and my brother supported United, like, they never had it on the telly. So, I was just,
yeah. So, Sam, we asked you to do your top five ever. I mean, I don't know if you chose anyone before your time. I don't know. I'll let you have the floor, my friend. Go from five to one.
I think the only player that before my time that I have to put in is Maradona. I think that's the only person who can really, I don't know. I don't think,
not
for me, I know I didn't see Pelé and I didn't see other players of that time, but I just don't think I could put him in my top five. I just,
Kyle's going to be upset.
But top five, I think five and four, I could probably interchange between Brazilian Ronaldo and Zidane, maybe.
Yeah.
Those two are going to be in those two spots. I don't know which one I'd rather have, but because Brazilian Ronaldo on his day is probably one of the best, if not the best of all time in terms of just end product. But those two, and then I think three. I'll put Maradona at three, Ronaldo at two, and Messi at one.
You didn't want to put Maradona at three there. Go on.
Say how you really feel.
No, but the thing is, in terms of career, I will put Ronaldo at two, but I just think in terms of playing ability, he's not two. He's not five. He's not four. He's not three.
I agree. I completely agree.
15.
No, I mean, I remember we had this conversation one day when we had early morning workouts in the spring. We were talking about, you know, in terms of choosing who you would have on your team if you only needed them for one game and they were going to play at their absolute best in that one game. And he's not going to – I mean, I'm going to have Messi, Brazilian Ronaldo, Ronaldinho, Zidane. Yeah. I'm going to have all of them before I take him, so.
100%. I completely agree with that. I think, yeah, like you say, you can't not have Ronaldo second what he's done and, how he's got to the top and stuff, but – in terms of just a footballer, like you say, if you had them all on their best day, mate, on their best day, honestly, I'd take Henri over him at his very best.
Really?
Serious. Like, I think people forget how, like, amazing.
When I think of, when like you say like this, I think I want to agree, but then I do genuinely think as an all-round player, like, if you're going off ability, I think what he done at United sort of trumps the way he played at Madrid. I know he scored like stupid amount of goals at Madrid, but I think, I mean, we've spoken about it before, the stuff he done at United from right wing, I feel like if I could have that player of Ronaldo.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because I feel like in Madrid, he changed his game. He was a striker. It became all about goals. He wasn't really like tearing up and down the pitch like he was at United. Sorry. I definitely 100% like, I don't really agree with the Henri thing personally.
Yeah, but you say that, but then would you not say Henri's the best Premier League player ever?
Yeah, but then obviously Ronaldo only played in the Prem for however many years. If he'd have stayed longer, I'm sure
I know, but you're saying if it's based on Madrid, you agree, but based on his time at United, oh yeah, I'd have that Ronaldo, but you've just agreed that Henri was better in the Premier League.
Yeah, but you said better in the Premier League in terms of what, his career. Yeah, I'd say at their peak, Ronaldo was probably better than Henri at the Prem.
Oh, I don't agree with that.
41 goals. This is the type of argument that these two have. Just for anyone listening, I've got a video on my phone of these two arguing whether aliens would speak English. And they argue for probably 15, 20 minutes about whether you went to somewhere else and aliens would speak English. And they went back and forth with real reasoning behind everything that this has said. I'll play the clip if you need me to.
I've got to be honest, I've got absolutely no idea about that.
I don't know that, but I'm probably right.
Don't believe it either.
I mean, I don't not believe it. I don't really have an opinion on it. So.
You are mental.
No, you're mental.
If you believe that, you're mental.
Why? Why am I mental? So if I went to the moon and came back and said, oh, Garrett, I saw an alien there.
And he told you to get off.
Yeah.
In English. Bollocks.
So if I actually went to the moon and I came back and said that, you'd say bollocks.
I'd say bollocks.
All right, cool.
What, unless you...
So, yeah.
But the thing is that's obviously we now don't want any of those players that we listed on their best is going to give you a 10 out of 10 performance. So it's kind of just it's kind of just picking and choosing at that point. But that's, I think that's kind of where people get lost in the whole GOAT debate thing, is like you have to look at the overall picture. And in terms of like career, like I was in Tom's TikTok comments and I was talking, I was mentioning to a kid, like, if you look at the 9 seasons that they played in the same league at the same time, and they're both in their prime, on average, I think Messi's average match rating in all those 9 seasons combined was like an 8.7, and Ronaldo's was like a 7.45. So, like, in terms of the overall length of 9 seasons and the amount of games you're going to play in a league at that time, it's like, I don't understand how people even think it's close, but that's
just... I actually find it a bit weird.
But... It's very weird. It's a very weird conversation, because realistically, if you're watching a player play of them their two caliber, you watch them at their best. Realistically, you know who's the better. Yeah. You just know. You can see it. It's easy with your eyes.
But that's what makes me laugh, because the argument always for Ronaldo and never football based. He's never football ability based, because they can't back it up. They know they can't. So it's always he motivates his team or he's worked the hardest. And then it's like, oh, for fuck's sake. Like, what, now what? It's just ridiculous, isn't it?
If you met him, Tom, what would you say to him?
Who, Ronaldo?
Yeah.
I'd ask him for a photo and say, tell me about Mykonos. Google that. Ronaldo Mykonos. That's all I'm saying, lads. This is where people get confused. Like, I love Ronaldo. Like,
no, you don't. Remember. You've literally said off camera you would cave his head in. That's what you said.
I've said so many times repeatedly, he's my second best of all time. Like, I'm not taking anything away from him. I just think it's got a bit ridiculous now where people are now trying to say he's better than Messi, which to me I just can't have. And unfortunately, my reasonings to prove Messi's better may come across that I'm downplaying or taking away from Ronaldo, which I am in a sense, but I'm not trying to, because he's just not on Messi's level. He just isn't. Like,
I think, and I think what it has to be like on a week in week basis, like throughout their whole careers. I remember, I don't know if it was Gary Lineker or Rio Ferdinand, somebody said this on like in a commentary one time. They said, like, no matter what the game is, like, they could be losing, winning, whatever. Messi's going to do 3 or 4 things that you're just going to say, like, I don't understand how he can do that. Even what the game when they lost to PSG, like 4-5, whatever, it's if it's your 4-5, 6-0 down, if Barca's down that many, he'll still find some way to do 2 or 3 things that you're just going to be like. Whereas Ronaldo, if his team's losing 3 or 4-0, I think he's probably virtually invisible. I mean,
yeah, 100%.
Do you remember a certain party we went to once? I remember, I'm not going to name the girl because follows me around, but her boyfriend was there, and we were chatting to him about football, and he's like, I know soccer, man. Like, I know loads of players at UD, and I was like, oh yeah, Eric Jemba. He's like, yeah. He's like, hey, we're boys, man. We are boys.
And one story I remember vividly is, do you remember when we were in the locker room one time and Nashawn, obviously, those of you who don't know Nashawn, you don't need to know, because
if you don't know,
he's a little legend. Sean.
You remember when I remember he was telling us that Pulisic at 18 was better than Messi at 18 years old. And I was just saying, Messi was starting on a team in a front three with Ronaldinho and Samuel Eto'o, and he was playing in a Champions League team that went undefeated, and Pulisic was somehow better than him.
Mate, the funniest one of him was he was trying to tell us that Pelé's name was Pelé, and obviously, we had a Brazilian in the team, Beto, and Beto was like losing his head. He was like, "What the heck, bro? What the heck are you saying, bro?" And he's like, "Yeah, it's Pelé. His name is Pelé." And I like got Google Translate and stuff.
Yeah, I remember that.
And he's like, "No, they don't know." And Beto's like, "What the heck, bro? It's Pelé. It's Pelé." And Michonne's just like refusing to accept it. He's like some 18-year-old kid. He's like, "No, it's Pelé. It's Pelé." Fucking idiot, man. He was so funny, though.
Yeah, people obviously, especially a lot of local kids don't know a lot about it. But even one thing, like, when you were talking about earlier, is people are so, when it comes to the Ronaldo and Messi things, like, people only remember what is, like, recently happened. So, like, a lot of the stuff they go off is what they're seeing on ESPN or what they're seeing on highlights. And, like, that's, like, some of the things, like, when I was in, going back to Tom's comment section, which I live in for the most part. I put it on there the other day. Like, the kid was like, oh, I just think Ronaldo wins bigger games. He's always there in the bigger games. And I put the comment in your things, like, people forget that in 2013, Barcelona was the first team to ever come back from 2-0 down in a knockout Champions League tie. And when they were down 2-0 against AC Milan after the first leg, and they had it tied 2-2 at halftime in the second leg, and Messi had both goals. It's like, where do you, just because Ronaldo did it a year or two ago against Atletico, doesn't mean it never happened.
I feel like people forget about the whole PSG thing. Like, they were literally 4-0 down in the first.
And then ridiculous. But their argument is, oh, no, Neymar was the main player. And then it's like, oh, for God's sake. Like, how far is this going to go? It's like, he's either, but then they'll also say, well, Ronaldo won a Euros. But then you could then use their same argument and say, well, he didn't do anything in the final. The game they actually won it in, it's just for the cave of the ready. Just quickly, Sam. Who is that guy? Right, I've seen him on TikTok a lot. He's an American, I think he's on ESPN or something. And he's like, he's the one who's going like, well, he's being sarcastic, obviously, going, well, Messi played with, like, terrible players like Xavi, Iniesta, whereas Ronaldo played with the greats like Darren Fletcher and Michael Carrick. And I just want to cave his head in. He's such a dickhead. Who is that guy? Do you know what I'm on about?
I don't know.
I've seen that clip.
I think I've seen that clip. Yeah. He's like,
but whoever it is should be fired.
Yeah, he's like, when he's at Barcelona and he's playing with the Xavis, Iniestas, Busquets, he's like, he's easy. He goes to Argentina. He doesn't have any of them players. Look what happens.
And he goes, well, let's look at the facts. Messi has more Champions League. And then he presses the fucking button and goes, oh, no, I'm so stupid. Well, what am I talking about? Ronaldo has more. And it's just like, oh, I fucking hate you.
That's American dead banter, that is. Yeah. That's like the most terrible.
Anything that has to do with Americans talking about soccer on TV, I just don't watch. Like, for the most part, even like ESPN FC, like ESPN FC is the local television that talks about soccer for the most part here. And like, a lot of the guys are foreigners or from England or whatever. And then there's some very few that are from the US that get on there and they talk every now and then, and I'll just shut it off as soon as they come on.
Yeah. One of them did like a top 10 athletes in the top 10 most famous athletes in the world at the minute, and didn't include Messi or Ronaldo.
Yeah,
it was like Tom Brady.
I saw that. That was a. Does that not Stephen?
Yeah. I know.
No, it might be Colin Coward.
No, I don't think it was.
It might have been Colin Coward.
Can't have been Stephen A. He knows his stuff, man.
I'm pretty sure it was.
I'm not having
that. Have you seen the video of Stephen A. Smith boxing, by the way?
Yeah.
Nah.
I'm fucking with him, man.
He's like,
he was on crack.
Sammy, moving on from that. Staying on the Barca topic, do you think Messi should have left in the summer?
I mean, I had this conversation with somebody on Instagram, I think the other day. It was like, because I was pushing for him to leave, and they were like, there's no way you can be a real Barca fan if you want our greatest player to leave. It's like, that's kind of exactly why I want him to leave. It's like, he's, what more do you want him to do? You're watching his last couple of years just deteriorate for nothing. It just doesn't.
You either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become a villain. You know what I mean?
No, and it's obviously I don't
jump off a cliff.
Obviously, I don't want him to leave because I want him to do the things he's doing in the Barca shirt so we could, you know, achieve things. But I don't think we're going to achieve things whether he's there or not. So I don't see why people are so obsessed with keeping him if it in the end it's not going to really
But if you had Ronaldo, he'd drag you to the wins because he'd win.
Leave him alone, Tom.
He fancy him too much.
He would though, wouldn't he? Like he's dragging you back to the I'm so stupid. What am I talking about? So we'll move on to some DB. Oh, just quickly, do you think you're going to win the title? I think you're going to win the title this year, actually. The way Messi's playing, I think you'll do it.
I mean,
Atletico look beatable, bro. Like, they look beatable, I think. Even Madrid.
The only good thing about it is we still have to play both Madrid. We have to play Atletico and Real. So, for the most part, those are our two chances to So if we were to win those games, I would probably guarantee we're going to win the league. But in terms of form, I would probably say we're going to beat both of them. But the thing is, we could change in a week. Things could be so different with how our team is. So
I worry about Barcelona, man, with all that the debt stuff, and obviously the team looks so far away from like those great teams that we've grown up watching. But going off that same thing is, someone did ask, I'll get his name, Isaac Richardson. He said, would you prefer to watch, say, now, or this could be for all of you too as well, the 2011 Barca side or the 2015 Barca side? So you're going...
Was it 2015? I thought he said 2009 and 2011.
Yeah, but I changed it myself because I thought that'd be a better one to change.
No, it's basically the same team in it, 09 and 11.
I was going to say 09 and 11 is pretty similar.
It basically is, so that's why I changed it up to the 2015 side. It's basically there. But that Pedro Villa Messi team, I remember watching that United game in the
Champions League,
and it was disgusting. I've never seen a team do that to
in that kind of
final.
I've never, and people forget how good United were as well at the time.
Yeah.
Like, they made them look so average. Like, that's why I'd go for that team, because they had the midfield three, which they didn't have with the MSN. Obviously, 2015, they've got the front three that was probably better, but they didn't have the midfield. I just think, oh my God, mate, that side under Pep were just...
I remember as well,
they were electric.
That final when Rooney equalised at 1-1, it was like a bit of a pity goal. Like, you knew it didn't really mean much. Like, United had a guy mental. It's like, it was 1-1 game on sort of thing. But literally, as soon as Barca got the ball back, they like went up the other end and it was like, here we go. Like, what's this going to be?
I think we'll go on. What was I going to ask you? I know that was it, just about winning the title, I think. Yeah. That was it. Just quickly, because I remember when we roomed in Virginia Beach, Sammy, me and you spent like a few hours literally on your laptop just watching like old goals in the Premier League. Do you remember? We were like, I remember it. Who would you say was your favourite ever Premier League player? And I think I know what your answer is going to be.
I don't think you do, maybe. But... that's tough. I would choose between
not best, just your favorite.
Favorite, it would be Fernando Torres.
Yeah, that's who I thought.
Yeah, I mean, I remember at that stage when he had the long blonde hair and I had longer blonde hair. I just wanted to like him so bad, and that's the only reason I started wearing number 9, which I eventually changed to 10 in high school because of Messi. But I ended up being number 9 at Wilmington, obviously. But the reason I started wearing number 9 from the beginning was because Fernando Torres. But
yeah,
I mean, he was unreal at that point in time.
So good to watch, wasn't
he? Seasons, he was just unplayable, wasn't he?
Electric, wasn't he? Yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't say Pavlyuchenko, but I suppose it is what it is, really.
But... No, but also Fernando Torres was a bit like in terms of people you look up to, Messi is my favorite player, but I understand, like, as a player, when I was growing up, like, you can never play like Messi. You can never, never replicate what he does. But Fernando Torres, I felt like, obviously, I could replicate him and what he did, but I wanted to play like his playing style, where he wasn't doing a bunch of step overs and he wasn't doing a bunch of this and that. He was more of like, he would hold him up, and every now and then he would slip in behind and he would just kill you in front of goal. So,
yeah. Who would you say your favorite West Brom player ever is?
I'm not going to answer that because
I could care less. There's too many to be.
I couldn't care less.
What was the guy you used to always scream his name at training?
Rondon,
yeah. Was that the one you would always yell at training?
Oh, there's a few. Rondon, Kumas.
Yeah, he always go, it's your Rondon, Don. That one.
Yeah, I used to love that. That was cool.
That was more for Loya, though, because Loya was Venezuelan. That's trying to make him feel part of something because he's just from a nothing country.
Brighton have signed an Iranian midfielder. Alireza Jahanbakhsh. I think it's Alireza Jahanbakhsh. Something like that. Oh, I can break that down. Yeah, I can write that down.
Go for some.
We've got a few DBS.
Yeah, a few DBS. I've got one that I want to put that I've just thought of before we come on. So my three, at their very best, I am going to go Luka Modric, Steven Gerrard, and I've got it between two.
Oh,
Okay, you didn't do much thinking then, did you?
No, it's okay. And Patrick Vieira.
Oh, it's easy. Well, not easy, but I'd go Luka Modric start because I think he in itself.
What the
hell? Yeah. Him himself is probably like could beat most sides except for Barca, basically. And then bench Gerrard and Vieira. See ya.
I'll probably, I don't know, man. Modric is an unbelievable player, but I think I'll probably have to start Gerrard. Yeah. I think if they were playing together, or so like playing against each other in a midfield, like I think
technically, Modric would dominate him.
Huh?
Modric would dominate. He wouldn't get the ball off Modric.
What?
There's no chance. Gerrard
would just steam past him. He'd eat him for lunch, mate.
What, really?
Yeah, really? I reckon I'm starting Gerrard. As good as Modric is, I'm starting Gerrard. Because if you think about it, Modric isn't doing what Gerrard done in that Liverpool team. No way. Not even coming close to it.
I agree with that. Well, he didn't do it for Spurs.
That's a lot of if, buts and maybes.
It's not an if. I'm telling you, he wouldn't do that.
How do you know?
Because he was in a similar team, Spurs, and didn't do it.
Nah, not as good.
What? Yeah.
Mate, that Spurs team he played in was better than the Liverpool team that won the 2005 Champions League, 100%.
Yeah, I'd probably agree, to be fair.
100%? With Bale, Van der Vaart, fucking Berbatov. Yes, they definitely were.
Yeah, but that's like one-off games you're talking as well. Like
what?
What? He dragged a very average Liverpool side to win a Champions League.
No, that was Jerzy Dudek who dragged them.
Yeah, and then I'm benching Vieira. Binning him off.
What about you, Sam?
El, did you say you're benching Vieira? You're dropping
him? No, I'm starting Gerrard, benching Modric, and then Patrick.
Well, that's probably the same I would do, but part of me really wants to drop Modric's player.
Honestly, if I could have them at their very best, just one off game, I may bench Vieira, you know.
Yeah. Ooh.
I'm just a bit out there, aren't I?
You're fucking mental, you are. I've got one for you. I'm gonna go a bit more modern. Leroy Sané, Raheem Sterling, and Mane.
Oh.
Am I going first?
Is that the old Mane?
Yeah.
If you go first, Sammy.
So you said Sterling, Mane, and Sané.
Yeah.
Sané, Mane, and Sterling.
And I think, I think Mane's starting. I think for me, but the other two. I mean, I'm a fan of Sané. I was probably big on him. I hoped Barcelona would try to get him when he was in that kind of no man's land, when he wasn't going to be at City, but he had kind of committed to Bayern. I really wanted Barcelona to go after him because we needed an out-and-out winger, but we just didn't do anything, obviously. But I would take Mane a star. I would probably bench Sterling and drop Sané, maybe.
Ooh.
I mean, I think Sané is maybe the most technically gifted of the three in terms of his ability, but he's just
100%.
Not consistent as
he's
the
don't other. Care, does he?
I don't know what he is.
I think if we were going on a one-off game, I'm starting Sané at the very best.
Yeah, I think
he's the most gifted of the three, but
if we're going overall, I think God, that is tough, you know, because they're very different wingers, aren't they? Really, all three of them. I don't know. I don't think Sterling gets the respect he deserves. If I'm being honest, I think.
No, yeah, I agree.
Mate, the grief that Sterling gets in our like messages is
ridiculous. It's embarrassing, mate.
He does have a gun tattoo on his leg. Come on.
Yeah. Cheers, Piers.
He did buy his mom. He did.
Word. How many beers you had?
One.
He did fubbity fubbity fub.
A flubber bob bob. What the fuck did you just say?
I'm going Mane, Sterling, Sané. Sané's too bov to be on my bench.
Cal.
I'm gonna start Sané, you know, and then bench Mane and sack off Sterling.
You've literally just gone on and defended Sterling's corner, and you've just
I think he's a great guy, and he wears Wallabies. So I like that as well about him.
Hey, where's Clarks?
Yeah, Clarks Wallabies.
Are they called Wallabies?
Yes, they are indeed.
I didn't know that.
Anyone else? Els, you got a couple more in your son.
I've got one, but it's like quite a mainstream one. But I feel like we haven't actually covered it. And that's Gerard Lampard's goals. It's always covered in it, really.
I'm starting Gerard.
It's so tough, man.
Benching Scholes, and I'm dropping Lampard. But it's so close between them, and they're very different.
I saw something the other day about, it was a quote from Rio Ferdinand. And I know, obviously, he's probably going to have a bit of bias because he played with Lampard at West Ham. But he was saying, if I had to pick someone out of them three, obviously in their prime, he was like, I'm picking Lampard all day long because of what he brings to a team. And in those specific moments, you know, in a season, he's going to get you 20 plus goals and probably 10 plus assists, which I sort of read it and I was like, if you think about it, like, that is mental.
Yeah.
Especially the amount of goals he scored as a midfielder. But I just think the vivid memories I have of Gerrard, like obviously we were saying, of him just, the stuff he used to do in that Liverpool team. Like, I mean, obviously I was a defender growing up, but I used to just wish I was a midfielder like Gerrard. Some of the stuff he used to do.
Yeah, I used to like him.
Yeah, and I think just Scholes, I don't know, I think Scholes probably gets a bit disrespected in terms of...
People forget how Scholes was at the start of his career. He was like...
Yeah.
He's the only one out of them, out of the three, to score 20 non-penalty goals in a season.
Really?
Which was 2001-2002 season. Scholes literally used to just play off the striker, like really high up. That was his game. And then obviously the older he got, the deeper he went, just because he had the technical ability to do it. So it is a fair comparison if you're speaking about them at their peak, because they were all very attack-minded. Gerrard was the best defensively out of the three, even though Scholes played the deepest. Gerrard was better defensively. And I just think Gerrard just had more to his game. Like, Lampard's probably the best finisher. Scholes is probably the best passer and thinker. But Gerrard could do all of that at the same time. I just think, I think for me, he's just the best out of the three of them. By the way, England are 2-1 up.
Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, sure, Cal. Sam, you go.
Oh, yeah, go on, Sam. You go, son.
I'm starting Gerrard for sure. But the other two is kind of... I think I'd probably bench Scholes and drop Lampard, maybe, but it's close, like you said. But, I mean, Scholes, like you said, he was fairly attacking-minded early on. And if those of you don't remember, Ronaldo owes Scholes a Champions League because Scholes beat Barcelona 1-0 in the semifinal.
Yeah, that was an unreal goal. Well, he shanked it, but...
But, no, it's just a joke. It's just a dig at people. We're Ronaldo fans, but... No, I'd bench Scholes and drop Lampard.
Oh, it's so hard, isn't it? I'm gonna start Scholes, you know, just because I think he's the best at controlling games out of the three. So I'm gonna start him. I'm gonna bench Gerrard and drop Lampard.
Gerrard Lampard Scholes is tough, really.
Happy birthday to you.
So this pod will be coming out tomorrow, and it's the 1st of April, and that's Sammy's birthday. So big happy birthday shout out to you, April Sammy Fools.
Happy birthday, Sammy. That's your first beer in about a year.
Yeah, you got down to beer.
My first beer since my 21st when we went out. The first
one. That's still one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
I'm down to beer for your birthday. Go on.
This is only like a third left.
Do the other one then.
Just sit off for old time's sake. Yeah, go on.
My shotgun.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, go on. Shotgun. Sammy.
Is that a gun in the background?
Sammy.
What are you talking about?
Is that a gun on the wall?
All right, you ready?
Let's go, Sam.
Here we go.
Let's get it, brother. Let's go, dude. Let's fucking go, bro. Oh, yeah.
Jabroni.
That's my fucking guy, Sammy G.
Fred Gang. Yes, boy. Love to see it.
Happy birthday, Sammy.
Happy birthday, babe.
Thank you.
Boys, get in the comments what you think Sam should be doing for his birthday. Right, I think we'll end on, have you got Sam? Obviously, we're building Fred up, and I think I'm going to release the viewers now. We are going to release, and we're going to let Fred wild when we hit 5,000 subscribers. So when we hit 5,000 subscribers, we're going to do a special episode with Fred, and then you can just see what this man is, this thing. And I'm going to ask Sam for a story, if he's got any stories, but while I'm telling mine, he can have a think. I went to tell a story last week, but we had to cut it out. It was too long. I was just, oh God, this fucking story. I'd forgot about it till last week. But basically, like I've said on the podcast before, Fred obviously picked up our kind of lingo and like stuff we'd say. And I remember the one day we were talking about something. I can't remember who it was about. I don't know if it was a footballer or someone in the team. We were probably slagging off. I don't know. We were talking about like people being big time and like big time Charlies and oh, he's so big time, this and that. I remember the next day, me and him were playing FIFA at William Penn. And we used to like change it. What I play, then he'd play online or whatever. And my go finish, and I'm like clicking like exit back to the main menu. And he's like, pass it then, pass it. And I'm like, yeah, hang on. Then I just started a game. And he's like, what you doing? Asking me to pass the controller. And I was like, nah. And I was like, fuck it, I'm just going to play. And he's like, it's the first time I've ever seen him get actually angry. He like picked his snuzzle, stood up, and he went, you're so fucking big time. And just stormed out of the fucking apartments and went home. And I was like, fuck it, I was only joking. You could have played. But have you got any good Fred stories, Sammy?
In terms of stories, I don't really. The only one I really remember is when he had the glove on his hand or whatever. He was picking the shit out of the toilet.
Shit.
But in terms of Fred, the character is real. It is a real character. I mean, he is, from what you guys say, it is for real. Like, he really lived in a dungeon in the basement. He really, I mean, he is as strange as it comes. But
I always remember, like, when you used to come to our old house and Fred was obviously in the basement, Sam would turn up and be like, I've got to go and see that kid downstairs. And he'd just like walk in and just start laughing at his room. Just like piled up boxes, snuzz everywhere. Like his bin was like overflowing.
Tom Brady shirt on the wall, just like around.
Tom Brady shirt.
He used to have that like under 10s De Bruyne Man City shirt, didn't he?
which he stole. At some place in Norway, he got from Lost Property. This shirt was like a kid's.
It was from Kirkwood.
Oh, obviously from Kirkwood, like an under 10 city show.
I remember I was walking. We were walking out to go home. I walk out and he's going through the Lost Property, and I was like, "What are you doing? Like, you fucking weirdo!" And he pulls it out and he goes, "Oh my god." this tiny 8-year-old De Bruyne shirt. And he's like, I'm fucking putting this up on my wall.
So he had, just picture the scene. He's in this dungeon of a bedroom, no windows. So it's like a prison cell. You go down, you just go in. He used to leave all his like shoeboxes. Like when we got boots and trainers and stuff, he'd just have like the boxes just piled up, snuzz everywhere. Then he's just got this big Tom Brady shirt with thumbtacks in them, pinned up on the wall. Next to it, this child's De Bruyne shirt. Next to it, he's a fucking freak. With plates everywhere. He was like the Gruffalo who lived under a bridge.
No, actually, I used to give you guys rides sometimes, whether it was to class or to training or whatever. And Fred would never fail to leave trash in the back of my car. It's like,
yeah,
it was every time. It didn't matter what it was.
Oh, my.
And I would always tell him before, like right when he got in the car, I'm like, don't leave the trash in the car. Everything.
To be fair, Garrett, it was worse when we got to like, well, because obviously when we lived together, he never cooked. He was like the dish man, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Like, he used to hate that as well.
Yeah. Us three cooked, and then he'd just do the dishes. So like we all cooked for him. And then when we moved to stall though, and it was me, Cal, and Fred, we'd take turns, but because obviously we lived with the other lads as well, Fred would just get like encouraged and like roped into like just playing more FIFA. So we'd be like, Fred, it's your night to cook, and he'd be like, no. And we'd be like, no, come on, like we're hungry, man. He'd be like, I'm not doing it. And then like Joe and Ben and that would be like, yeah, Fred, no, you don't need to do it. And Fred was like, yeah, I'm gonna play on the team.
I've thought of so many just in preparation for that when he comes on. Just
mate, when lockdown's over, we're straight over to Oslo, and I can't wait to see him.
He's just gonna. What's gonna be funny is we're gonna have this like call with him, and Fred's just gonna be sitting there like, oh yeah. He won't say anything. He's like such a weird kid. I love him, bro. I do miss him. I think that'll wrap up tonight's episode. I mean, Sammy, cheers for coming on, brother. Pleasure to see you again, mate. Been too long.
Thanks very much, Sammy.
Brother. Carl Elliott, good job again, boys. Well in.
Thank you, mate.
Thanks, mate.
Yeah, you've done very well.
Well done, mate.
Anyone going to praise me?
Keep doing TikToks, mate. Keep liking, sharing, commenting, subscribing.
I need somewhere
to go. Boys, new UGD drop, as I told you, on the 26th. That was the 26th. UGD dropped their new gear. Got some nice pink garments. I've got some new shorts on, which I'm not going to stand up and try and show you again because that was embarrassing.
You haven't quite got the Joe. What's that bloke that plays with Spurs now, Will? That Joe Rodon, is it, or something like that?
Joe Rodon, yeah.
Yeah, he's got fucking chopper on him, boy.
Has he?
Do you not see that TikTok that I sent into the group?
No.
Boy, he is fucking.
Really? Oh, and also, we've got a bit of breaking news of a future guest. We have secured Dean Windass. Dean Windass. He's gonna. Do you know who that is, Sammy?
No, I've heard of the name, but.
Mate, so Dean Windass is
literally a footballing legend in England. He's like mental. But yeah, we've managed to secure Dean Windass. So he's going to be coming on the pod. We're not sure when. We're going to plan.
When's Joe Cole coming on?
Mate, we need to keep fucking spamming him, basically. Yeah.
Just we got to get him on eventually. Boys, everyone, thanks for watching. Make sure you're commenting, liking, helps us out. If you're listening on Spotify, then just crack on. You know what I mean? We will see you again this time next week. Adios.
Adios. Yeah, boys.